The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this August 16th, 2022. And tonight, this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And they keep reminding me, tell the numbers, give the number, give the number. Okay, so first I'm going to tell you, back in the boiler room, we got Radical Randy and, well, and Eric back there together. And they're doing a good job. They can't wait. They can't wait to start answering those telephones. They do a yeoman's job back there. And then our producer here, that rising radio star, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And still here hanging around the studio. She got somebody left the door open, and lock and load Lisa got in.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. And then out yonder in Missouri, he's my old pal, my old buddy. If I was the Lone Ranger, he'd be my Tonto. If I was Batman, he'd be Robin. And if I was Laurel, he'd be Hardy. None other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Oh, but you're far from Laurel. That's yes, your God-fearing, Bible-believing, flag-waving, gun-owning, Constitution-loving partner is here. They're ready to go to work.
What a fine kettle of fish you got us into this time, Stanley. All right.
Yes, yes, indeed.
There you go. Well, I miss those fellows. They were really good comedians. All right, I've got to get going. The phone lines are open, folks. This is Pledge Week, and we need to hear from you right away. And so the numbers are 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. Now, Joe, we've got
people on that. 281-1110, they can take credit cards.
Yeah.
And forgetting to remind people, you can use your credit card, and if you do, call on the 888-281-1110. Use that number for credit cards.
I wear a cap, Joe. I wear a cap just about everywhere I go. And people see my cap, and they say, I like that cap. I really like your cap. Do you know why they say I like that cap, Joe?
I think I know what it says, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, my shirt says, not the cap.
That's exactly right. It says the same thing. It's a black cap, and it says in bright red letters, America needs Jesus. America needs Jesus. And it's adjustable, so you know it can adjust to your size. Now, it says the same thing that's on the shirts. We've got those shirts, and they're black, and it says in red, white, and blue on the front of the shirts in big letters, red, white, and blue in big letters, America needs Jesus. You're right out there, folks. You're a witness when you walk in. And a lot of people like it. Some don't like it, but they get the message. And I wear those wherever I go to speak. I wear those shirts now in a cap. And on the back, in large white letters, It says, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And when I was speaking at one of the places, when I turned around where the people could see that, the resistance to tyranny, there was a standing ovation. The people, they agreed. They stood up and they applauded because, well, the Joe Obama and the Communist Party, the Antichrist system, they've got people upset nowadays, you know. And so, anyhow, all right, Sarah in Michigan just pledged $10. And then, Joe, we still have the 20, and we need to get these out. The 2,000 mules, we got to get them out, Joe. We got to get the 2,000 mules out because, folks, November, listen to me. Don't think that the Democrats are planning the same thing. They're planning exactly what they did the last time, and they're planning on using the Postal Service institutionalized ballot interference scheme. They've come up with a brand new, and we're on to them already. We know what they're going to try to do. And so, you know, folks, you got to get those DVDs out there, 2,000 mules, and more people have got to see them. More people have got to see them because we got to get all of our people out there to vote. All right. My buddy out there in Little Rock, Arkansas, Bugs Bunny, pledges 200. Hey, Bugs. There you go. What's up, Doc? There you go. And so, also, Joe, you know, the songs, we've sent out thousands and thousands of them over the years, the songs that we sing on this, that we play on this radio program, we have them on CDs. So, folks, for the caps, a donation of $25 or more will get you a cap. A donation of $40 or more will get you a small, medium, or large shirt. And then a donation of $50 or more will get you two 2X or 3X shirts. They cost us more to get, to buy. And then we have the DVDs. Donation of $60 or more, we ask for 20 or 2,000 mules. And if you go an extra 15 and make it 75, but you got to ask for it. See, if you don't tell us you want it, we don't know that, okay? Because people will send in a donation, and then they'll call us later and say, why didn't you send that? Well, you didn't ask us. We didn't know that you wanted it. You got to let us know that you want it, see? And then, again, for an extra 15, we ask it, we'll send you the CD of those popular songs that we play here on the program. All righty. Joe, we got to get right into the message, don't we?
The title was, God is an Awesome God.
And he sure is. So let's go to James chapter 1 and read me verses 17 and 18.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Okay, let me ask you this now. What is often compared to light? By the way, I'll give you a hint, Joe. Tonight we're talking about God's goodness. God's goodness.
God's good. Okay. I was going to say the opposite is always first thing hits me is light and darkness. But
right. Good.
Right, compared to the goodness.
Right. It's light is compared to goodness and dark. Dark is compared to evil. Now.
Evil, right.
Here, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, that cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Now, you know, when I think about this, I'll never forget when I first got married. We had our first apartment, and I was in there after work. I went in, and I had to paint the walls, because the walls were very, very ugly. And this was an old century home, and we had rented the apartment downstairs. And so I was in there at nighttime, and I had one of those lamps, you know, the standing lamps, the tall lamps. And I had it right in the center of the room because I wanted to be able to get the light evenly around. And I had taken the shade off. And if you looked at the bulb, Joe, I mean, if you looked at that light bulb, it looks like it's consistent all the way around. It's like it's the very same everywhere. But I saw something when I went and I turned the lamp. As I was turning it, I saw shadows on the wall turning. They were turning with the lamp. And I realized that the lamp was not consistent. There was variableness in that light bulb. And I would imagine that happens every single light bulb that you have. I bet you'll find the same thing. None of them are perfect, okay? But with God, there is only perfection. There's not a trace of anything less than absolute perfection, is there?
Exactly, because whatever he wills happens exactly how, when, where he wills.
And then verse 18, Joe, of his own will beget he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What do you think he's referring to? How are we a first fruit?
Well, we're the first fruits of the creation that has free will, that can choose to accept him and love him willingly and serve him willingly by our own volition, our own choice.
Well, you're right. We are the very first generation to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
Right.
We are the first. Well, we weren't the first, but that church was the first. And so
the church is the body of all the believers is the church. So as long as we're part of the living church, the living body of Christ, we are still the kind of first fruits until the.
Well, he's referring specifically to the first century church there. This is who he's talking about here. It's the first century church. And they were the first to believe on the Lord Jesus as Messiah. So. All right, now let us go over to Acts chapter 14. We're still looking at the goodness of God. In Acts chapter 14, and we start with verse 14, and we read 14 through 20.
Which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe."
And so here, what you had going on, there was a certain man from Lystra, Joe. He was impotent in his feet. He was a cripple from his mother's womb, and everybody there knew that. Everybody knew this guy was lame, couldn't walk, could not walk from his mother's womb. So when he came to Paul and he let Paul know that he believed, "I believe you can heal me. I believe you can heal me." And so what happened was, hold it right there. I'm going to finish the story, but I got to give that number out because the phones have stopped ringing. Well, we have Kevin and Chardon, and I know which Kevin that is. That's my old buddy. Who just gave 100, pledged 100, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Now, here, so when he came to Paul and he told Paul, "I know you can heal me. So Paul did. Paul prayed over him, and he said, now stand upright and on your feet. And the guy did. He stood up, and he leaped, and he could run. And so they all saw that. All of those saw that. And so right away, they proclaimed Barnabas as being the god Jupiter. And then they Paul is Mercury, okay? And what do you think?
Gods have come to us in the likeness of men, right?
Right. So what do you think Paul and Barnabas did when they proclaimed him to be Jupiter and Mercury?
Oh, that's when they both rent their clothes and ran in and go, no, no. And then from what we read, we are men of passions like you, and we preach that you should turn and turn to the truth, the true God.
What kind of Bible examples do we have for people that accepted worship? They accepted that, and what was the results?
Not good. Anyone that other than God Himself, God wasn't very pleased with anybody taking His worship.
So if we go to Ezekiel chapter 28, we see a very good example of that there. When the king of Tarsus decided that he was a god, and God showed him no.
He worshipped.
God showed him exactly that you were no god. God happened to be listening when he made that statement, and he said, "Wow." God chided him. He said, "Why, look at you! I'll bet you're even wiser than Daniel, who was a contemporary at the time. You're really intelligent, aren't you? And look at how powerful you are." And that was Ethabel the Third. And that was Jezebel's nephew, in fact. That's who that was. And anyhow, and so, guys, I'll tell you what. You're not a god, you're a man. And when I send you the men, he sent men from Nebuchadnezzar, from Babylon. When I send these men to kill you, you tell them that you're a god and see if they buy it. So
yeah.
He did, and they killed him.
They killed him, yeah. Right. I'm a god. Yeah, well,
speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He walked out there on his balcony. He looked out over all the, and he said, look, I have created all of this. I have built all this. And God was listening, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What did God tell him?
He kind of disagreed with him and told him, no, he didn't create all that. And he learned a little humility eating grass, right?
Well, he learned more about grass than he ever wanted to know, I bet, right?
I bet, yeah, a lot.
And what about claws and bird's feathers? His hair was like bird's feathers, okay?
Yeah, and his hands were like claws.
Yeah. So what about, but probably the worst case of all would have been Herod the Magnificent. Remember Herod the Magnificent? He stood out there on his birthday. It was his birthday, and he was wearing his birthday suit, which was made of silver. And as the sun was shining upon it, and those that were trying to garner his favor, the merchants who were trying to garner his favor for trade, they said, you're not a man, you're a god, because he was waxing eloquently in his speech. He said, you're a god, you're a god. And what should he have done right at that moment? What should he have done?
No, he wasn't. He was a king, and he might be powerful, but he wasn't a god, but he wasn't smart enough to do that.
He should have rent his garment right in front of them very quickly, right?
Right.
And but he didn't, and so what happened to him?
He was eaten up, wasn't he?
He got a bad case of worms right there on the spot.
Eaten alive by worms.
Yeah. Now, in our own time, there was someone who did the right thing, who knew exactly what he should do, because he had read about old Nebuchadnezzar, and that guy's name was Elvis Presley. And when he was given a concert, and as he was given a concert, these women all across the front, probably, I don't know, looked like there was about 20 of them, stood up with this huge banner. And I was watching that when that took place. and they said, Elvis is the king. And, of course, Elvis said, take it down now. There's only one king. That's Jesus. Jesus is king. Take it down. Take it down right now, or I'll quit. I won't sing. And these women took the banner down. I was watching them. They were crying. They were crying. Should they have known better than to do that?
They should have, but he still got the title somewhere. People wanted to crown him king. They still call him the king.
Yeah.
And he was the one that rejected it. He said, no, don't do it.
And so here, as we go through that, we see that, now what was it? God always never left himself without a witness. So he gives the witness here of himself, of who he is. And that witness is in verse 17 and 18. The witness, Joe, is, nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and a fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So the rain and the food was the witness, wasn't it?
Right. All good and perfect things come from above. It's man that muddles things up and uses the good gifts for evil, that everything God puts out there is good.
Okay, very good. We have, let me see, do we have time to go? No, we don't have time to go to the next one here, to Peter. So we've got a clip that we want to play. Are you listening to me in there? Let's go with that clip, the first one. Don't forget, folks, 888-281-1110. We got to hear from you. We got to hear, because we haven't had, it's been 5 minutes since we've had a call. 5 minutes. 888-677-9673. We really need to hear from you. Take her away.
Breaking news, a source within the Department of Homeland Security has leaked to us an intelligence bulletin marked for official use only, unclassified, in light of the FBI raid on President Trump. This document, dated August 12th, refers to a heightened threat from what the Department of Homeland Security calls DVEs, or domestic violent extremists, quote, motivated by a range of ideologies who have grievances against a variety of targets, including law enforcement. Domestic violent extremists are referred to in one of these paragraphs as, quote, many of these threats include references to the perception that the 2020 presidential election was fraudulent and other claims of government overreach. The 2022 midterms in this document are also highlighted as a potential, quote, flashpoint for this violent extremism. We would not have this document, but not for the brave source inside Department of Homeland Security, a new source that reached out to us on our tip line, veritastips@protonmail.com, and also our Signal cell phone. We're getting a lot of sources within the federal government coming to Project Veritas, because they certainly can't go to places like the Washington Post or the New York Times, who quote these people on background and show you no documents at all. Now, the Department of Homeland Security has declined to confirm the existence of this document, but you can see it with your own eyes and ears, which is certainly not something the mainstream media wants you to necessarily see, but you can see it here and you can see it on our website. As you may recall, 2 weeks ago, a source in the FBI, a different source, sent us a series of documents revealing that the agency was categorizing patriotic symbols that are very common as indicators of, quote, militia violent extremism. And as Ted Cruz pointed out in the hearing, cross-examining Christopher Wray, the Gadsden flag, this bow tie, if I were to wear it, the FBI would consider it an indication of militia violent extremism. And as Senator Cruz so eloquently articulated, Christopher Wray, what are you doing?
Alrighty, we're back. What happened there? That wasn't the end of it, but alrighty, so there you go. Now, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. Joe, I mean, there's a lot happening, and now there's a number of whistleblowers coming out of the FBI, which is a very, very good thing. you know, and Christopher Wray has come out just recently. What he was going to tell you there is saying that they're looking, they look, and they treat everybody the same when it comes to looking at these who might be a terrorist. Do you believe that, Joe?
Yeah, we in the past we have warned people. We've conservative Christians have been put on numerous lists as the enemies of the state by the government, and this is nothing new. I can't remember the years, but it's what, probably the third time we've reported on it.
Yeah, we have, and we've got another clip we're going to play also here in a minute or two. And this is Operation Mockingbird.
We were the enemies of the state several years ago, and
pro-lifers.
People forget.
Anyone that was considered a pro-lifer, if you were a pro-lifer, or a fundamentalist Christian, if you were,
if you were pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, Christian, you were an enemy of the state and dangerous.
Remember the battle we had with the Pentagon and the War College, because in the Pentagon and the War College, because they thought, and they actually wrote the statement that Christians should not be in the military. Christians should not be in the military because our allegiance was to Christ and not the New World Order. And that, and McTernan and I went on. We had a long battle with them.
Right, it wasn't the Constitution. That would have been fine, but yep. They tried to claim our allegiance wasn't to the godly Constitution that we have.
Now we're always telling you, like we're telling you people, why this radio program is needed more than ever. The mainstream media, called the mainstream media, is simply an arm of the Communist Party. They are simply a part of the collective. We're going to play you a tape called Operation Mockingbird. They are simply
good news. I've got breaking news. I want you to hear the good news. One of the members of the deep state just was defeated. According to AP News in Wyoming, Liz Cheney has been defeated. It was so overwhelming they have called it already, and Liz Cheney is out.
Well, listen to this.
Trump's.
Listen to this. She's announced that she will probably run for president in 2024. That she will run as a Republican for president. What do you think?
No, she's not going to. She'll run as a Democrat.
Well, the Democrats are also behind her. She is a Democrat. I mean, she really is a Democrat.
She won't run as a Republican. I don't think they're pushing. I think she'll do it as an independent or as a Democrat because the Democrats don't have anybody else.
So is she the answer to Sleepy Joe for the Democrats?
Could be.
There you go.
But we've got a good Trump supporter in going to be running now, and this is wonderful.
Well, that's a good one down. That's one more in Congress. What about Murkowski out there in Alaska? Have you heard anything on her?
No, haven't heard yet.
All righty. Okay, let's go to the clip.
Multiple mainstream media outlets have been caught reading from the same script and advancing an identical propaganda narrative following the FBI raid on former President Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. Numerous media outlets read from the exact same script, repeating a similar talking point following the raid, saying, "Sources say there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums." The official narrative pushed by these mainstream media outlets attempts to use guilt by association to tarnish criticism of the raid. According to the media, anybody who criticizes the unprecedented raid on the home of US president is a conspiracy theorist calling for violence.
Sources tell ABC News there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremists and QAnon-related forums.
Sources say there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums.
Sources also telling ABC News there's been a strong reaction from some extreme groups online, including QAnon and other groups.
There's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums,
including those that were active before January 6th.
Including those that were active prior to January 6th.
Including those that were active prior to January 6th.
Involved in the January 6th insurrection.
Including those that were active prior to the January 6th riot.
Some have been calling for violence and even a civil war.
Some of them include calls for violence and even a civil war.
Some of them include calls for
violence in online forums
and even civil war.
This was the top comment on the search on the pro-Trump site, The Donald, last night. Quote, lock and load with references to a civil war.
Talking very violently about civil war.
Searches for civil war spiked.
They're talking about civil war.
Civil war.
Civil war.
Civil war.
Civil war. Civil war.
The disturbing footage of mainstream media talking heads repeating the exact same scripted lines suggests the public are being force-fed government propaganda about the FBI raid. Which raises the question, what do they have to hide and why are they so determined to make everybody see the event in the same way? This is mind control in action. There's a reason they are called programs and programming. And it's not the first time the media has been caught parroting from the same propaganda script.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our
Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troublemaking the irresponsible one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you surprised? In 1949, a CIA director called Frank Wisner was given a task to create an organization responsible for the manipulation of media and direct action in the United States and other countries around the world. This operation would be known as Operation Mockingbird. The justification for Operation Mockingbird was to fight against communism. But as often happens with government programs, the stated objective and the reality of what the program was used for do not always align. The CIA would then go on to hire many top journalists working for big mainstream media outlets to further their cause. But they did not stop there. They also hired many students and foreign journalists as well. Anything to stop the threat of communism and, increasingly, influence public opinion in other ways too. The CIA even funded Hollywood films. While we can sit here and argue about the ethics of an operation like Mockingbird, there's no argument about its effectiveness. Mockingbird was incredibly effective. Operation Mockingbird was a large-scale program of the CIA that began in the early days of the Cold War and attempted to manipulate domestic American news media organizations for propaganda purposes. The CIA was able to implement a mass media manipulation system, allowing them to control their narrative while censoring those they did not like, as long as it was in a company in their control. Huge media companies that controlled vast swaths of the American media landscape, including CBS, Time Magazine, The New York Times, and The Washington Post, were all in on the bankroll of the CIA and directly under their control. While Operation Mockingbird was able to operate secretly for many years, they could not stay in the shadows forever. In 1964, David Wise and Thomas B. Ross published a book called The Invisible Government. The book blew the lid on CIA covert activities and how the agency operated. Then just 2 years later, Ramparts published the first expose of Mockingbird. Sol Stern, the writer of the expose, describes the experience. Until the Ramparts story broke, the government could count on the mandarins of Washington journalism to protect national security secrets. But as details of the front groups spilled out, editorials in the Times and the Post skewed the secret funding arrangement and compared it with methods used by America's Cold War enemies. The CIA was beginning to feel the heat. The Watergate scandal drew the attention of the public onto America's many agencies. This led to many investigations, most notably the Church hearing. In 1975, a US senator by the name of Frank Church set up a committee forever known as the Church Committee. CIA Director William Colby was called in for a hearing. The Church Committee would go on to release various reports exposing the CIA, leading to public outrage about their actions. The next year, George H.W. Bush, who was the new CIA director, publicly ended the CIA's relationship with the media, stating, "The CIA will not enter into any paid or contractual relationship with any full or part-time news correspondent, accredited by any United States news service, newspaper, periodical, radio, television network, or station." Perhaps that's why CNN are listed as entertainment and not news? Just a thought. Regardless, the scary fact is that the mainstream media is a cesspool of manipulation and thought control, and 99% of people have no clue about what is going on. And if you think it was bad in the 60s and 70s, you need to get yourself up to speed, because in 2012, Obama reversed the Smith-Mundt Act, meaning domestic audiences can again be targeted by government propaganda. Propaganda and fake news have been a hot topic since then, especially since media favourite Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election. And if you're wondering what Obama's handiwork looks like in practice, consider this Exhibit A for the prosecution.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Alrighty, we are back, and we've seen this again. We've been telling people for years. I've been telling people for 50 years. It wasn't, when we started, as bad as it is now. But the mainstream media called NBC, ABC, CBS. The video of what you were just listening to out there, folks, it showed all of these people at NBC, ABC, showed the backgrounds, the people you listen to. They were given a script. The script is called the narrative. Again, I want to tell you, if they may look professional, these are actors. They are actors. When they get out there and they're looking in that camera, they are reading what they were told to read. They are contracted to lie. They're contracted to lie. And people say, "Pastor Oney, you're a bad man saying that about them good people." No, it's the truth. It's the truth. They're contracted, and they will tell you whatever lie they are told to tell is the narrative. They will tell you. They will betray you. They are betraying you every day out there. And again, because you've been so, you've been dumbed down. You've been dumbed down to where anymore you listen to it. And I have some experiences where I can show you how people that I know tell me they don't believe a word of the fake news media, then they turn right around and show you evidence that they do. Okay, but anyhow, so that was amazing. This is what we've been telling you about all this time, Operation Mockingbird. Everyone, if we all say the same thing
at the same time,
people will believe us. Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right, 888-281-1110. We practically have... Right now we have 55 minutes left, 55 minutes left tonight. And Joe, you know what that means? It means we have approximately, we have 5 hours left. No, see, two, we have 7 hours left, 7 hours left in this entire week, Joe, to raise enough money to stay on for the entire next month. And so it's going to be tough.
What we can do is remind the listeners that in all the years that this program has been on, you've been on now
50 years, Joe. 50 years we've been doing radio.
50 years in the radio. You have never taken a dime in salary and money. No one that's worked with you has ever taken any money, and Salem Studios will verify that because they handle a lot of the...
They take all the money, Joe. They take all the money.
They know where it goes.
Right. Anyhow, so folks, we need to hear from you if you want to continue to hear from us. I can honestly say, Joe, if I was to die right now here today, I have run a good race and I fought a good fight. I can honestly say we never compromised, not one time. And I can honestly say in 50 years, we never gave it anything less than our very best. And so here, Judge who ordered FBI exposed as Obama donor who vowed to destroy Trump. You know who that is? That's that Bruce Reinhardt. Bruce Reinhardt had no integrity at all. If this Bruce Reinhardt even had the least a bit of integrity, well, the Democrats would have thrown him out of the party, because honesty and integrity is not allowed within the Democratic Party today.
Exactly.
And so he vowed that he would destroy Trump someday. Now, he should have recused himself. He should not have even taken that. He should have recused himself.
A statement like that, there is, anybody with any common decency, any attorney, any judge, would have recused, after a statement like he made, would have recused themselves. But, you see, in the Democratic Party, going after people like this, you get promoted. You get rewarded for doing evil. As long as it promotes the end, justifies the means. Remember, that's the communist motto. The end justifies the means. The result, we don't care how you get there, just as long as you get there. And that's not the way we as Americans are supposed to be. We are a republic, not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic that's based in the rule of law. Laws that, in a republic, do not change. Ergo, our founding fathers said our institutions of law and government were based on the Ten Commandments of God, laws that do not change, and the teaching of the New Testament, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know that the words of Jesus are eternal. His gospel is eternal. So a republic is rule of law that does not change, God's law and God's word. And the Democrats are the Antichrist system. They're against everything that God says we are to be for. It's that simple, folks. It's a spiritual battle. It's playing out in your front of you. It's a communist takeover. The Antichrist system against Christ and his church. And if the church remains silent, well, you can see who's going to end up running the country.
Yeah, Joe, here in Ohio, you have...
People are Satans.
You have... you have a fellow, Neil Peterson. We had him on the radio program. He was running. He's a pastor, and he's 100% patriotic Christian pastor. And he was running as an independent. But, Joe, when you go into a vote there in Ohio, now they got these touch screens so that you sign your name with your finger on these touch screens, Joe. And it doesn't even look like, like when I went in, run my finger across it, and that was good enough,
It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Well, what happened, Joe, with him, we have a rhino, an anti-Trumper, known to be anti-Trumper, a Maureen O'Connor, who is a rhino Republican, supposedly on the Supreme Court, who's not. She's a rhino. And she ruled that since his signatures didn't match up, in other words, with the people that touched the touch screens with theirs on their cards. Well, they're not going to match up. It's unbelievable that somebody would be so corrupt and so crooked to do that. Well, he did that. The same thing happened here. Update, Marxist, right? And so he lost it. He didn't have enough votes. They said he didn't have enough votes to get on the ballot. When he did. But then again, the corruption by the anti-Trumpers is 100%. Here, update, Marxist radical George Gascon won his recall with 27% of ballots having an invalid signature. If you believe that,
that happened, right?
Yeah. Again, here you go. Remember
In other words, the people would have voted Gascon out. And it would have been enough signatures, but those in control disqualify the signatures, ergo another win for the enemy.
You remember what Joseph Stalin said? It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes that matters.
Votes, exactly.
All righty. Beverly in Manhattan pledges 200. Rose in Hartsville pledges 100. Thank you, Beverly. Pardon? Oh, Harleyville pledges 100. Folks, right now, we need about 500 and About 5,400 right now. And Joe, we've got 1 hour. 1 hour to get 5,400. 1,000.
Well,
1 hour.
All I can say, folks, is the time is critical. The battle is for the heart and soul of this country, whether the communist revolution will be complete and the communists stay in power, or whether or not we can, the Christians, rise up and fight and take back this nation under God, restore God to the head of things as he is supposed to be. And it's going to really be up to you, and there's only a few people who are really active. A lot have been intimidated. A lot have been driven off. You saw what they did to Giuliani, you know, and what they've done to many of the others that supported Trump. And it's going to be a battle for the will of the people. They cannot defeat the people. They can knock off the people in leadership positions. They can arrest and jail, but they cannot stop you, the voter, and they cannot stop you from talking to your friends, your family, people at church, people at work. They cannot do anything to control you at the local election level. It has to be, you know, as a Christian, we're supposed to be what?
Bold as lions, Joe. Those T-shirts and those caps that we have. When I go and I'm speaking, or I go even into the stores and I wear that cap, it says America Needs Jesus, and those bold letters on the T-shirts, you know, you get to two responses. A number of people say, I really like your shirt, and others will say it takes a lot of guts to do that, a lot of guts to wear that. In other words, nowadays they're telling you to actually come out and let people know you're a Christian, you believe in God. That takes a lot of guts. Well, you know what, Joe? The righteous are as bold as lions, and it's a great witness. And the folks out there listening to me, let me ask you, what are you made of? What are you made of? Okay. Those caps and those T-shirts, they're a witness. They're a really good witness.
Great witness. When I've worn mine, you get a reaction out of people all over, and it's wonderful. You can tell the people that are shocked. Other people come up and thank me. Other people come up and ask. In fact, that was something I've got to talk to you about. I've got a lot of people asking how they could get a T-shirt like that. It was kind of hard to explain. Well, you have to donate to the ministry and blah, blah. We're going to have to work something out. There's a lot of people that would like to just buy the T-shirts, and we may have to see if we can do something there.
Well, maybe you can order a bunch of them out there and have them shipped out. But, you know, we're going to be there. We've got a number of events coming up where we're going to have a table set up, and we'll have the T-shirts and the caps right on the table there, which would be.
Yeah, it could be, yep.
A big rally's coming up, yeah. So, but anyhow, those T-shirts and those caps are a witness. And, folks, I'll tell you again, the caps, if you get a donation of $25 or more, or the T-shirts, small, medium, large, a donation of $40. Double, extra large, 2X or 3X, it's a donation of $50. And again, if you go ahead and, if you want, now before this, we're still going to be into September. The election is in November. We need for more as many people as possible to see 2,000 mules before then, Joe. We really do. We put out several hundred of them. And folks, listen to this. Listen, they had hoped to be able to sell 2 million, and they've sold over 20 million. So, Joe, if only two people have each saw those DVDs, that means 40 million people have seen it. But we got to do better than that. Look, here, let me tell you about this article. This is why Democrats are not worried about 2020. The fix is in. Postal Service institutionalizes ballot interference schemes with a new mail-in ballot division. Do you hear that? The Postal Service has set up a new mail-in ballot division. Democrats just passed $700 billion spending bill during a it's called during a recession with a record of 8.6 inflation. Here it goes, Joe. The new spending bill will force middle-class Americans to pay $20 billion more in taxes, Joe, $20 billion more. The bill will create 87,000 new IRS agents to harass Americans and target all, the word is that these IRS agents are going to be trained to target all Republican small businesses. All Republican small businesses will be targeted. Now, folks out there listening to me, we're here to tell you these things. Remember everything we told you in the past. Everything we told you in the past, it came down. It came true, just like we told you it would. This is what they're planning on doing. But you can head them off. You can head them off. If you go and you get that 2,000 mules, show it. Show it at your church. Show it in a library. Show it. Just show it and show it. And when you're finished showing it, give it to somebody else to show someplace else. We got to fight. We've got to fight. 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. The phones aren't ringing, folks. Believe me, this is August. This is summertime. You don't know where we're having an extremely rough time right now. We don't have woke corporations to support us, to put out propaganda, communist propaganda. We depend upon you. And they're going after the people. They're going after people like Alex Jones. And they're going to, and I'm, you know, we're waiting any day for them to go after us. But we're going to fight like we have for 50 years. But we can't do it without you. We need your help. 888-281-1110. 888.
I'm sorry.
677-9673. Go ahead, Joe.
Here is some proof, everything Pastor has been saying. We all know that this new tax that they passed, they keep saying, nobody under $400,000 is going to pay any increase in tax. This is what all the talking heads are saying. But here's the truth. And this comes from the Daily Caller News, Grover Norquist, founder of the Americans for Tax Reform. The expanded IRS is going to go after not just the billionaires and corporations. If you look at what they've done in the past, most of their audits went at people making less than $50,000. In fact, actually, at a lot of people making on their tax return taxable income of $25,000. I'm talking taxable income, because these people don't fight back. They just say, you're wrong, you owe another, you know, 400 here, another 1,000 here, and most of the people end up paying because they don't have the means to challenge. Now, found out that when this bill passed, every single Democrat in the United States Senate voted against an amendment, voted against to defeat an amendment which said, this law will not allow any increase in audits on people making less than $400,000 a year. It was in there, and they voted against to defeat that amendment. So it was right there. We're not going to allow any audits on anybody under $400,000, and every Democrat in the Senate voted against that.
All righty. Joe, we're coming up to a hard break, so we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.